Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our our service this afternoon. Shortly, we're going to consider the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, as seen in a number of scriptural readings and as represented in the words of many of the songs of praise which we have within our Christadelphian hymn book. As you all know, of course, Easter was last weekend, when many people throughout the world remembered the momentous occasion in history concerning the Lord Jesus and of his death and of his resurrection and the mission which God had given him to perform. But before we consider that aspect, we're going to begin with a word of prayer, if you will stand. Great and eternal God, we come into your presence now to praise you and to honour you, for we recognise that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth and all things living. And we thank you for revealing this to us in your holy word, for informing us of your ultimate purpose for the earth, even that of being filled with your glory, which can only be achieved through the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask you now for your blessing to be upon us in our worship of you and in the praises which we shall sing, that we might honour your work and your purpose. And so we ask, Heavenly Father, for you to hear this our prayer, for it is in Jesus' name that we offer it. Amen.
Amen.
I have to admit that although this is primarily an afternoon of worship in song, I don't possess any musical talents whatsoever. I'm looking to our organist to provide that talent for us and to yourselves in the way that you sing, which I hope will be tunefully and cheerfully and with feeling. When we come to the selection of songs which I've made. For my part, I want to simply provide a little emphasis to the words which the writers have put into the songs which we're going to sing, so that we might more fully perhaps understand the mission of the Lord Jesus, the purpose of the Lord Jesus, the work which he came to fulfil on God's behalf. But first of all, we're going to begin with a hymn of praise to our God in hymn 118. And in these verses, we're expressing our praise to, because God is the creator of heaven and earth and of everything living. He is the one who provides for all our needs, we shall read. He is the one who is able to sustain us in all the circumstances of our lives. And therefore, it concludes that all that hath breath within them should praise and thank God for the lives which they have. So let's sing that hymn 118, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Oh,
all that we've sung about in that last hymn is really summarised in Psalm 96, which I'm going to read to you. Perhaps I could have chosen many different passages of Scripture to illustrate the creative work of the Almighty and the praise which is due unto Him, but I've selected this particular one because the psalmist seems to express the great joy and the need to sing about all that God has done for us. He begins, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering. Come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and with the people with His truth." And so those words seem to capture the creative work of the Almighty, the need to worship Him. It also speaks of His future purpose. When the earth will be full of righteousness, we read, and the earth will be judged righteously. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth. And so that's what the psalmist was singing about, singing these praises because of all that God has done. But he speaks, as we say, of that future work, when the world will be full of His glory and His righteousness, and all that can only be achieved through the work of His only begotten Son. He is the one whom God has appointed to undertake this task. And the words of this next hymn, hymn 182, the writer here captures these thoughts and the method God used to bring the Bible into existence, wherein we have the revelation of this God's purpose concerning His Son and His mission. So let us sing that hymn 182, "O God, who from the ages past has made His purpose clear." for the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, as for his work, as for his purpose, God made it clear at the time of his birth exactly what it was. I'm sure we're all very much aware that the Lord Jesus was born to be both Saviour and King. The Lord Jesus was born, wasn't he, by the power of Almighty God. When he was born, God indicated that he had to be called the Son of God. But we know that he was born in human form. He was born of Mary. And being human, we read he was tempted in all points like as we are, but without sin. And that is significant. The Lord Jesus never doing or saying anything which was displeasing to his Father. Something which we do so readily in our lives, isn't it? We so often do those things which are contrary to what we know is acceptable to God. It's the very thing which is the cause of our mortality. It was from our first parents, Adam and Eve, whose record we have in the earliest book, the book of Genesis, which speaks of the condemnation which came to man as a result of them disobeying God's one commandment. And so death has passed upon us all. We have inherited it. But of course now is the time of the year to remember the work of the Lord Jesus and how, through his life, through his work, through his mission, it is possible that that death penalty should be removed. For the Lord Jesus died to make an atonement for our sins. But through his death, a very profound and significant sacrifice of his own life, an innocent life, God accepted this as our covering for our sins and provide a way for those who believe in the work that the Lord Jesus was accomplishing, that we too might be delivered from death. And so this was the way in which the Lord Jesus was the Saviour for mankind, the one able to deliver mankind from death. And our next hymn, hymn 211, speaks of the nature of the Lord Jesus. It speaks of the temptations which he suffered but overcame. Verse 5 proclaims the hope we all have due to Jesus being raised from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion, and of his position now as priest for mankind, and of his future role as king upon the earth. So let us sing that hymn 211, O love, how deep, how broad, how high. We read some very well-known words in the Gospel according to John in the 3rd chapter. They are these: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And so John expresses the extent of God's love towards mankind, that whilst we were in this state of mortality and perishing, God sent his only begotten Son. He gave him as this sacrifice that mankind might be delivered from death. And the great hope for mankind is that those who believe in the work which the Lord Jesus accomplished on that cross, that death, that life which he gave, those are the ones whom the Apostle John says here God will bless and will provide that life, even that eternal life, which the Lord Jesus now possesses himself. Later on, the Apostle John also wrote that Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." That was the confidence which the Lord Jesus had in the work which he was to fulfill. He is the resurrection. He was the first to rise from the grave. And he is the one who is able to provide life similarly to all those who believe in the work which he was to accomplish on God's behalf. And later on, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, wrote these words: "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he, Jesus, must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that is, that God may be all and in all." And so the apostle there speaks of the work of the Lord Jesus, that because he is risen, so also others can follow similarly and be raised from the dead, unless there be a riot at the coming of the Lord. For the apostle is speaking about the return of the Lord Jesus and of his coming and the time when he will reign, even reign for 1,000 years. And what a change in nature for those who believe in these things. Speaking about our present situation, he says, "As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I assure you a mystery: we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. And so the apostle is speaking confidently about the return of the Lord Jesus and the state of the individuals who will inherit that kingdom which is then established under the rulership of the Lord Jesus. And then our mortal bodies will be changed and will become incorruptible. And when we come now to our next hymn, hymn 132, this speaks of those who acknowledge the great things that God has done for us in providing Jesus as a means of redemption from our sins. Those who have faith in his promise that he's able to change our mortal bodies and make them into those incorruptible ones which we have mentioned. These individuals have great cause for rejoicing and can look forward with great hope and joy to the return of the Lord Jesus to implement these things. So let us sing that hymn 132, "To God be the glory, great things he has done."
Glory, praise, and see as John, since so God's healing.
next song of praise, which we're going to sing, hymn 254, it calls upon us to sing with gladness. And to sing with gladness because of all that Jesus has accomplished for us as our Saviour. And in verse 2 of that song of praise, we are proclaiming his sinlessness. We are proclaiming his sacrifice to bring about that full redemption. And as a result of his death, we read, and subsequent resurrection, he has become the Prince of Life. A marvellous title to attach to the Lord Jesus. In verse 3, the words announce that Jesus is in heaven with his Father, where he's currently ruling and protecting over all those on earth who have put their trust and lives at his disposal until that time when he will return and implement the restoration to the world. And so it speaks of the current work of the Lord Jesus, which he accomplishes in heaven. In verse 4, we shall sing then of the period of restoration and renewal under the Lord Jesus, when all the sorrows and the dreadful events which he endured as a Saviour, his sacrifice upon the cross and the cruel things which he endured at that particular time, will have long been forgotten, and when he will rule over that world of peace, when the earth itself will be full of glory. And of that time which the Apostle Paul spoke about, when the Lord Jesus will, after his reign of 1,000 years, then return all power unto God who gave it to him. And so let's sing joyfully of that time which is to come through the words of this hymn 254. Sing ye faithful, sing with gladness.
Thank you.
the Christian hope, I'll repeat that, the Christian hope is for the Lord Jesus to return to the earth, to establish that kingdom about which we have sung, to establish that kingdom for which we have all prayed at some time in our lives. Thy kingdom come, that thy will may be done on earth as it is now in heaven. We ask God for that kingdom to come because it is the realization of his whole purpose for the earth and for mankind. For that time when the earth will be full of his glory, when all things will be renewed and restored under his rulership. And the Apostle Paul provides this great comfort of the Christian hope to the believers that he wrote to at Thessalonica. He wrote, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." He wanted to reassure the believers that the Lord Jesus will come. And even if they die in the meantime, they can look forward with that glorious hope to the time when they will be raised from the dead and caught up together with the Lord, to be brought together into one place under the rulership of the Lord Jesus. He was confident in their belief of these things and said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore," he repeats, "comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do." So he was confident that they possessed this faith in the Lord Jesus, his ability, his authority to raise individuals from the dead and to bring them all together to a common place, even the kingdom of God, which he will establish universally upon the earth. And that which was a comfort to them should be a comfort to ourselves also in our days, to know for a certainty that the Lord Jesus will fulfill that second aspect of his mission of being king over all the earth. Next Sunday, God willing, in this room, the subject which will be spoken upon then will be earthquakes in the Bible. And the speaker will be Mr. David Lister of Sutton Coldfield. We're at Chapel Lane, Salter Hebble, next Sunday at 2:30. The subject will be "Jesus is Alive, Does It Matter?" And the speaker will be Mr. Peter Barrett of Milnes Bridge. And if you're able to come and join us on Tuesday evening at 7:45, Mr. Fatih Bartoy will be speaking upon the wilderness journey. And if you aren't doing anything special on Friday, then please join us for the coffee morning at 10:30 to 11:30 here in this room. Now I'm going to conclude in prayer after we've sung the hymn 438. Here is a song of praise which offers God our thanks for his priceless treasure, the priceless treasure of our Lord's work revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures, which we are privileged to have available to us, that we might read and meditate upon them and to respond, as this particular song says, respond on appreciating their worth. So let us sing hymn 438. Again, approach into your presence at the close of our service to continue our praises and our thanksgiving unto you, for we do indeed recognize all that you have done for us in providing your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to be a sacrifice for our sins. We thank you for that redemptive work, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that we shall the more appreciate what you have done for us as a result of being here this afternoon. We ask now for you to go with us, to be with us, to bless us in all the circumstances of our lives, and to bring us to your kingdom when the Lord Jesus returns. May we be there to accept him. Meanwhile, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all your blessings, countless blessings which you have made to us, and do so day to day. We thank you now for the food and drink which you provided to sustain us in our lives. So we pray that your blessing shall rest upon it, that we might be strengthened to serve you. So hear our prayer, for it is in the Lord Jesus' name that we ask it, even he who is our mediator, our Saviour and our King. Amen.
Thank you.